most frightening in many ways for the point of view of the government itself was a rebellion on the Kronstadt naval base, once a center of Bolshevik lower class radicalism. This base was located very close to the city of Petrograd, just a little ways off the shore. And the demands of these Kronstadt sailors were clear and rather bold, and indeed in many ways echoed what peasants and workers elsewhere were saying. First of all, and above all, the Kronstadt sailors protested Bolshevik authoritarianism, Bolshevik coercion, which you've seen described before. In fact, one of their main slogans was what they called "down with the commissarocracy," the commissar being the term for Bolshevik political officials, and certainly for the leaders, the ministers of the government themselves, mixing commissar and autocracy, down with the commissarocracy. They demanded an end to a one-party state, though they still insisted that the government should be a socialist one, should exclude the bourgeois parties, but include all the various socialist and anarchist parties representing the people. They called for complete freedom of speech and press for parties representing the people, in other words, for socialist and other leftist groups, excluding the liberal bourgeoisie, but for at least the people's parties, there should be complete freedom. And their economic ideal, like their political one, was also sharply opposed to that of the communist regime, though again, still socialist. Like everybody else, they demanded an end to grain requisitioning in the countryside, but they also argued that all state control of the economy, all state interference in the economy, was against their vision of what the revolution was all about. They demanded a society that was decentralized, that was collectivist, that was entirely free. A continuation in many ways of populist ideas from before the revolution, but many describe these ideas as essentially anarchist. Finally, as if this wasn't bad enough in the crisis that the Bolsheviks, the communists, faced, within the Communist Party itself, various dissident factions began to form with names like the Workers' Opposition or Democratic Centralism. And this reflected the fact that many Bolsheviks themselves were discontented with the authoritarianism they used in society and the authoritarianism in the structure of the party itself and the way party life itself was run. And they believed that dissident voices in the party and dissident voices in society, if workers and peasants were the voices, should be heard. Now, all of these conditions, this horrible crisis, led the party, under the guidance of Vladimir Lenin, to change course, or at least, as it would see to some, it would seem to some, to retreat from the radicalism of the Civil War period. In March of 1921, at the 10th Party Congress, Lenin assessed the situation that the communist regime, that Soviet Russia faced, rather bluntly. As he put it, "We have failed to convince the broad masses," and indeed he knew he had failed to convince many in his own party. And the solution he proposed, which was immediately accepted, was a major compromise strategy. On the one hand, repression, wherever needed, to suppress open opposition to protect communist power. The Kronstadt Rebellion was put down by force, enormous force, in fact. 14,000 casualties resulted on both sides, the Red Army side which invaded and the sailors' side. Workers' strikes were simply repressed, again, often using army troops, and the leaders of these strikes were arrested. Peasant rebellions were violently crushed until they ended. And within the Communist Party itself, all factions were banned. At the same time, the party embarked on a major program of concessions to popular discontent, a policy that became known because of the centrality of economics to it as the New Economic Policy, or simply by its initials, NEP. This meant, first of all, the demand everybody made, an end to forced grain requisitioning. Instead, the party announced there would be a free market in grain. Peasants could grow what they want, sell what they want, and that's how grain would get to the city, not by forced requisitioning, where peasants were told at force of arms to hand grain over at low state prices. They also agreed to denationalize part of industry. You'll recall that during the Civil War, everything became state industry, Now it was decided to reallow small-scale, mostly small-scale, private industry. The government kept control of the what they like to call the commanding heights of the economy, big factories, the banking system, foreign trade. But small-scale industry was now legal, and so was private trade, essential in order to get the goods from various producers, private and state, to consumers.